Koro Vaishnava Thakur Kripa Koro Vaishnava Kripa Koro Janiya bhajite bhajite abhimana mudra sambandha janiya bhajite bhajite abhimana mudra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll go over something of the song. This is also a song from Kalyana Kalpataru, a very significant song. Kripa Koro Vaishnava Thakur. Thakur Bhaktivinod, he's praying now to the Vaishnavas. And he's saying, Sambandha janiya bhajite bhajite abhimana hao dhura. So you please shower your mercy on me, kripa koro. If that happens, then sambandha janiya. By your kripa, I'll understand what is my relationship with Krishna and abhimana hao dhura. All my upadis, all my false designations, my false understanding of myself will go away. So this is a very, very important point. We've been describing three different types of systems of respect. In a general way, we describe the asuras, although there's many different gradations within these three systems. Meaning today, mainly the Western culture, which is mostly fixed upon offering respect to someone due to some money or some wealth, some physical strength that they have, some bodily beauty, because their self-conception is this body. And higher than that is the sura system, the devotee, the saintly system of vanashram, in which we offer respect according to knowledge and according to renunciation. And the highest of all is that system of respect which we offer to the Vaishnavas. So here, Bhaktivinoda is giving a clue. If we keep the Vaishnavas on our head, if the Vaishnavas are our most respectable persons in society, not the bankers, not the beautiful movie stars, not the talented singers or the rich people, if we keep the Vaishnavas on top, then what happens? Abhimano haudhura. Our false understanding of ourself will go away. And we'll have a proper understanding both for ourselves and within the society. And he says, Amito Vaishnava, Eburi Hoili. If I start thinking that I'm a Vaishnava, then Amani na hobo ami. I'll not be able to offer respect to others. I'll not be prideless. Pratistasa asi hridoi disibe. Hoi boi niraragami. My heart, hridoya, dushibe, it'll become contaminated, it'll be polluted with the desire for fame. And hoibo nirayagami, in the end I'll go to hell. And this is not why we've come here. Yesterday we were speaking about importance of understanding, of remembering why we've come here. When we came, we were very nice, we wanted Krishna. But after some time, we tended to degrade toward the externals. And thinking, oh Prabhu, your tilak's not quite straight. How many times did you make it to Mangal Artik this week? Your dhoti doesn't look quite right. He's a brahmachari, he's a sannyasi, he's a vanaprastha, she's a mataji, she's a housewife. We tend to think in these external things. And then we start thinking, yes, I'm a Vaishnav, very, very good. Everybody's giving me respect. When we first came, we were just a new bhakta. And we were thinking, oh, I'm very, very fallen, very, very low. But then we were in the temple for 3 months or 6 months, and we learned 3 verses from Bhagavad Gita. We became very advanced. And someone invited us one day. They said, there's no one to give Bhagavad Gita class. So you should give class. Oh, no, I'm not qualified. No, you should give. So then we gave class. And then after another year, then they said, oh, there's a big festival program going on and you should sit on the pandal with the senior devotees. Oh, I'm not senior. No, you've been here for so long, you're senior. And then after some time, we can start thinking that, yes, actually I am a senior person and I am a qualified speaker. Amito Vaishnava. Eburi Hoili. And then this Abhiman, this conception of myself comes, which is not a conception in terms of service to Krishna, Guru. It's a false conception, thinking that by appearance sake, I'm a Vaishnava. And if that comes, then I can't give proper respect to others. I'll want to demand respect for myself. This pratishtha will come. My heart will become contaminated. I won't be able to offer proper service to Krishna. And hoi bunarayagami, I'll begin to descend to hell. Therefore, he says that I'm very fixed. I want to be very fixed in one particular mentality. Tomara kinkora. Apane janibo. This is all that I want to know. Is that I'm your kinkar. I'm your servant. Guru abhimana tyaji. I give up this abhiman that I'm guru. How does this abhiman come that we're guru? We've seen this thing. Not just in ISKCON, but this thing has also come in Gaudiya Vaishnavism and Gaudiya Mutt. It also comes in other religions where people, they begin to think that I'm guru, I'm a proper teacher, I'm a spiritual personality, even though they may not be on that platform. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one article, he describes how this duplicitous desire arises in the heart. He says, if I do not remember the lotus feet of Sri Guru at the beginning of every new year, every new month, every new day, and every new moment, then I'm sure to fall into far greater inconveniences. If I do not remember his lotus feet, then the desire will come to dress myself in the garb of Guru. I will become liable to the bad desire of seeking to be worshipped by other people as Guru. It is this which constitutes addiction to things other than the truth. So if we see that our Gurudev is always present, then there's no question of pushing him out of the chair and saying, I'm going to take your seat. But what does that mean? For that person who always sees their Guru present, they always see their Guru's instruction. And if their Guru tells them, you be Guru, then they take that thing on their head. But they don't think that I'm Guru. They think that I'm just a pipe. I'm doing this as a service to my Gurudev. And he's a qualified one. So Bhaktivinoda says, Guru Abhimana Tyaji. We have to give up this Guru Abhiman. And don't just think that this Guru Abhiman is something which falls prey to the initiating gurus in ISKCON. This Guru Abhiman is something which affects so many devotees. Who is Guru? Who is Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is a dosha darshi. He doesn't see faults in others. That's his nature. But the guru is sarva dosha darshi. That's his job. His job is to chastise his disciples. Hey, Badmas, what are you doing? Nonsense, rascal. And he applies sasan. That person he applies sasan, discipline to, is known as a sishya, or disciple. That person who accepts that sasan, he's a sishya, a disciple. So that guru, he can do that because he's the merciful manifestation of Krishna, Krishna Kripa Sri Murti. And his job as a representative of Krishna is to chastise and to point out our faults. So he has adhikar to do that. He has the qualification to do that. But no one else has that qualification to do that. So we should think on those days when we start going, hey, Prabhu, what are you, came 10 minutes late for Mangal Arati this morning? I saw you the other day in the bathroom. You're eating prasadam in the bathroom. Very, very bad nonsense activity. What are you doing? When we start chastising someone like this, we should think, this is Guru Abhiman. I'm trying to take on the position of Guru. And then what to speak, we start taking on the position of Acharya, successor Acharya. That means, after Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was the founder of Acharya Diskan, came me. And how is that? Because I'm so great that I'm going to chastise all the gurus. In ISKCON, I'm going to point out everybody's fault. Huh? I'm such a big personality. Indirectly, you're saying that thing. So don't think that this guru Abhiman is only the property of initiating spiritual masters in the ISKCON society. Huh? But this guru Abhiman is something that is a very deadly plague that we all have to get rid of. Huh? Sometimes people, they go, ah, that person, he thinks he's guru. Nonsense, rascal. Huh? And you're chastising, you're acting like guru. Huh? And maybe their spiritual master told them to do that service. Huh? So we should give this up. Guru Abhimana Tyagi. Huh? He says that, Tomara Uchista, huh? I just want the remnants of your plate. Very, very humble thing. Huh? I'm not asking you for any position. I'm not asking you to make me guru after you or to give me the position of temple president or GBC or this thing or that thing. All that I want from you, Tomara Uchista. I just want your remnants. And what does that mean? Those remnants are something which is coming from his mouth. Jivani sat mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. This is Uchista also. And this is our life. Jivani sat mukaritam. This thing which is coming from mukha, the mouth of the sat janas. Sat mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Those topics of Krishna. I just want to chew on those. After you've chewed on those things, I want to take them and I want to taste them. I want to relish them. I want to contemplate in them. Tomara uchista parajalarenu. I want the dust of your lotus feet. I don't want the hair from your head. I want the dust from your feet. What do I want from you? I just want the lowest position. I don't want the highest position. Parajalarenu. Sada niskapati bhaji. I want to always worship you with sincerity. Why he says sada niskapati bhaji? Because he's saying tomaru uchista parajalarenu. He's saying that all I want is your uchista and the dust of your feet. I don't want a position from you. I don't want your money. I don't want to be your successor. I don't want to be the hat, the ornament on your head, on your crown. I just want the dust from your feet. And this is sada niskapati bhaji. This is sincere worship. Nije Sreshta Jani, Uti Stari Dani. If I start thinking, Nije Sreshta Jani, yes, I'm a very big personality. I've been here so long. They give me prasadam in line with all the senior devotees and Prabhupada disciples. There's a little sign there that says Prabhupada disciple. They're giving me a seat there. If I start thinking like that, then this tendency will come that I'll want to give my remnants to someone else. And this, what does this mean? This also means two things. This means that maybe some bhakta will come by, or some person that I want to give my mercy to. And I'll, Prabhu, come here. You can have something from my plate. Some special mercy. We'll start thinking like that. Or a second type of uchista is there. Is that, Prabhu, come for a moment. Please sit down. Now, I want to give you some instructions. We start thinking that we're qualified for that thing. And therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he sings in another song, which we can touch on very nice, and illustrates this point very wonderfully. On the last page of this. Maya's joke. Hari he garita chare rohila mamoji nakari no sadhu sangha. Hari he rohila mamoji nakari no sadhu sangha. Hari he garita chare rohila mamoji nakari no sadhu sangha. Hari he garita chare nakari no sadhu sangha.
loi sadhu vesha ani upadeshi e boro maya ranga loi sadhu vesha ani upadeshi e boro maya ranga
He's describing that I want to give my remnants to others. So we're saying that this has two meanings. One is directly give the remnants of your food, and another is that you want to give some instruction. So in another song from Saranagati, Bhajanalalasa, Bhaktivinoda is singing that, what is my nature? Garita Acharya. I'm always engaged in the most terrible activities. Garita Acharya. Rohilama Moji. Nakorino Sadhu Sangha. I've never done sadhu sangha. Lava mapta sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. If you just have a moment's association with a sadhu, you get all perfection. So, do I have perfection? I've had so many years of association with my guru. I've had association for so long with so many sadhus. But still, there's so many nasty things in my heart. Bhakti padeshanu bhavo viraktir. We can understand there's a barometer in spiritual life about our progress. This is described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trika eka kalaha prapadyamanasya yatashnatashus pushtis tushti kshud apayog nagasham. That when you actually begin to develop bhakti, you'll know you'll have some detachment in your heart. You won't be attracted to material things. Just like when someone takes prasadam, when someone eats, three things happen simultaneously. You get some pleasure, very tasty, very nice. You get some nourishment, and the hunger goes away. So in the same way, when we begin to advance in bhakti, in truth, then we become detached from material things. So if that thing hasn't happened, then what sadhu sangha have I done? Nakarino sadhu sangha. Bhaktivinoda says, I haven't done any sadhu sangha. Just like people, they go to Disneyland in America. It's a big tourist place. And they go there and they have a 5'2" high paper cutout photograph of Michael Jackson and another one of George Bush. And you can stand next to them and smile and they take your photograph. And then you go home and you say, see, I met Michael Jackson. I met George Bush. So our sadhu sangha is something like that. We just want to have our picture taken next to sadhu, next to guru. But if he comes and chastises us, we become very upset. Why did he chastise me? I didn't deserve that. I've been very nice. I gave him so much money. I've given him so much respect. Why should he chastise me? This is not good. And then you leave that sadhu. You're not doing sadhu sangha. What does it mean to hear, to have Shravana Adhikar? We want to hear from Guru. Shravana Adhikar requires three things. Pranipatena, Pariprashnena, Sevaya. Jiva Goswami describes this in Bhakti Sundarbha. That you should surrender to that person. You should inquire from them submissively, not in a challenging spirit. And you should render service to them. And if you do that, then you have Shravana Adhikar, the right to hear. If you don't do that, then Sunilena Sunakana. It goes in one ear and comes out the other ear. Once there was one king who was keeping his court, and one of his ministers brought to him, they said, we found the skull of some man. The king was looking at that skull. So he said, hey, I want all my ministers to come. They called for all the ministers. And the king told them, he said, I want you to tell me if this person who had this skull, if he was a wise person, if he was a fool. And if you can't tell me, I'm going to cut your head off. So all the ministers, they're very quiet. It's a very, very difficult thing. What are we going to say? It's just a skull. How do you know if he's an intelligent person or not? Finally, one minister said, yes, I can tell. He said, please bring me a piece of straw. So some chela went and they brought a big piece of straw. That minister put the straw in one ear of that skull and pushed it. And that straw came out the other ear. And he said, he was a fool. So your hearing will be like that. Suni leila sunakana. You'll not really be hearing if we don't have the Shravana Adhikar, Pranipatena, Pariprasnena, Sevaya. If we don't have these three elements, it's just a show. It looks very good. And all your friends, they clap their hands. Very good. Oh, he went to hear from a Gaudiya Mat Sadhu. He's very advanced. He knows like this. He's like this. It's just a show. We should come to Guru in the right way. He says that then what happens? A very, very bad thing. Loi sadhu vesh ani upadeshi e boro maya ranga. He says, this is a big joke of maya. E boro maya ranga. Maya is making a big joke. What is that big joke? That in absence of doing real sadhu sangha, in absence of having really genuine good qualities, not seeing anyone present there, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, I don't see my guru present. And not seeing him present everywhere at all times means that I'll fall prey to the bad desire to think myself guru. So he's not there. I'm really not qualified. And I don't really want to do it, but there's no one else to do it, so I'll have to. So, loya sadhu vesh. And I put on the dress of a sadhu. And then I start going and I start giving everybody instructions. Hey, Prabhu, I'll give you my mercy. So this is uti stadi dani. That nija shesha jani, if I start thinking I'm a big person, then uti stadi dani, I'm going to want to bless you with my instructions. If you go out on the street, and so many, all of us here, I think, have been preachers for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And maybe some of you have convinced someone to come and join the Hare Krishna movement. What happened? What was the mechanics of that thing? Maybe you went out on the street and you met someone and you were talking to them and you told them that, you know, just as a person changes their body from boyhood to youth to old age, so in a similar way we change our body at the time of death. And maybe that person says, wow, that's the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life. That's wonderful. And they become so inspired, they want to dedicate their life and they come and they move into the temple. So, let's ask an honest question. Was that because of you? That was because of Srila Prabhupada. Because you repeated his words. It belongs, the glory, the respect goes to him. So we should think like that. We may give class, we may speak, we may go do book distribution, we may, quote, preach. But we should think it doesn't belong to me. I'm just repeating what my guru says. And because he's so powerful and his words are so powerful, the other people, they become struck by them. If I do this thing, nija shesha jani, I start thinking myself a big person, then uchi stadi dani, I want to give my remnants to others, and hobi abhimana bara. I'll have a very, very big abhimana, very big person. Hey, why you didn't offer me an asan? You didn't give me a garland this morning? Don't you know who I am? We start thinking like that. Bhaktivinoda says, therefore, tai sishyataba, takiya sarvada, na loibo pujakara. I'll never accept worship from anyone. I'll always keep the attitude that I'm your disciple. I never want this guru abhiman, guru abhimana tyaji. So then someone may ask, well, how is it that Srila Prabhupada is accepting worship? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is accepting worship. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave one lecture on the occasion of the first official Vyas Puja festival on the Gaudiya Math. And he said that something to the effect that, now look what we have here before us, a great brute sitting and accepting all this glory, all this respect from all of you, like an animal, like a dull animal. He wasn't thinking himself accepting that thing. But he's thinking that I'm accepting this on behalf of my Gurudev, on behalf of the parampara. And that's his qualification. That's the qualification of the preachers, to think that they don't have any qualification. They're just a pipe. If the pipe starts thinking that the pipe is a source of the water, then sarvanas, everything is finished. The water company is going to shut him down. But he should always think, I'm just a vehicle. And this is all coming from Krishna. And then he's Krishna Kripa Srimurti. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda says that Amani Namanada Hoile Kirtani Arikara Dibe Tumi. I'm praying to you for this thing. I can't get this thing. This thing is beyond my grasp. How to become prideless? Guru Dev, Kripa Bindu Dear, Koroe Dase, Trinapeka Atihino. Bhaktivinoda prays that you please give me a drop of your mercy and you make me humble. And here he's saying, oh my dear Vaishnava, if you're kind to me, you can make me qualified, by which Amani Namanada, I'll give up my pride. I'll be able to offer respect to others. And in such a way, Hoile Kirtani, then I'll be able to do kirtan. Then there'll be some relishment. And it's not just some jungle drums in the kirtan, and we're having a good time and jumping up and down like some rock and roll or something like that. Sometimes the kind of kirtan is also there. That's also okay, because if we keep doing that kirtan, then eventually we'll become purified. But that's not really, in one sense, it's not, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta describes in one lecture, it's not really Krishna kirtan. In one sense, it's Maya kirtan. Because you're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, you're doing it for your pleasure. Sometimes some of the brahmacharis, they stand up before the microphone and they sing like a gandharva. And very beautiful. And the deities there. But what are they thinking? They're thinking, oh, is that girl in the back? Is he seeing me right now? Huh? He's thinking like that. He's not thinking of Krishna. He's thinking of this young woman. That's Maya kirtan. He's not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda is saying that if you give me adhikar, then I can give up my false ego of trying to impress other people, and I can do real kirtan. Tomara charani niskapate ami kandiye lutiva bhumi. Then when you give me this qualification by the result of chanting the holy names, then at that time, niskapate ami, then I can become sincere. Then I can give up my duplicity. And then I can come in a real genuine way and I can cry. I can really cry and I can really roll in the ground at your feet. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that bhakti is the greatest wealth. And he describes what that bhakti is. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana, bhakti e Krishna nama, smarana kandana. He says three times, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana. Bhakti is the greatest wealth, bhakti is the greatest wealth, bhakti is the greatest wealth. In his commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says this means that in sambandha, abhideya and prayojana, bhakti is everything. But what is bhakti? He says, bhakti e Krishna nama. It is Krishna nam. Krishna's name is bhakti. Mahaprabhu, he's made a garland out of nam and prem. He's put the two things together. In this age of Kali, nam is prem. Bhakti e Krishna nama. But he adds two conditions, two things to it. Smarana, krandana. We should remember Krishna. This is Krishna kirtan, not Maya kirtan. And krandana, we should cry. So how does that crying come? In the material world, everyone cries. The brahmachari, he cries because he can't get a wife. He wants a wife very badly. And he complains, everybody else is getting a wife, I'm not getting a wife. I'll move to Vrindavan, then I'll be able to get a very nice Videshi wife. Very, very good. They're thinking like that. And he's crying. And then he gets married, and then the wife makes him cry. So again he's crying. And the wife is also crying because she wants a husband. And then when she gets a husband, she's crying later on. So in this way, in the material, everyone is crying. But these kind of cry, these kind of tears won't help us. We want to cry for Krishna. Niskapati bhaji. In the mood of non-duplicity. So that thing comes by the mercy of Sadhu Guru. Because they come and they chastise us. They expose our real motivations. And then we can develop some genuine, real humility. So we should always offer all respect to these persons. We should always pray for the mercy of these persons. This person known as Guru. So, in Radha Vinod Goswami's commentary on Prema Samput, He's cited one verse, which I don't know where it comes from. But he says, Jammado vididaschaiva pranado gyanadeshtata guru bhavati dharmena shreshta suryat tarotara. He describes three types of gurus that we should offer our respect to, and we've given here on the birth on the board. That one who has given you birth, he's your guru, and you should offer respect to him. One who has made some arrangement for your livelihood, for your money, he's your guru. And someone who's given you life or given you knowledge, that's your guru. Jivanti sammukhari tam bhavadiya varta. He's given you life by giving you this Hari Katha. Or maybe he saved your life from drowning, from a fire. They're your guru. But ultimately the highest one is that person who's giving you Krishna consciousness. And he says that these persons are listed in successive order of importance. That person who gives you birth, he's something important. But someone who makes some arrangement for your livelihood is more important. And someone who gives you, saves your life, they're more important yet. But someone who gives you spiritual knowledge saves your life in that way. That's the topmost personality. That's a guru. And those persons he describes who are malicious to the above mentioned persons, they're guru drohi. They're irreligious. And Shastra therefore has described them as being fallen and atheistic. We must be respectful to these persons. Again, in the Karma Purana, it's described different types of gurus. Upadhyaya pita jeshta brata chaiva mahipati matula swasurasrata mata maha pitamaho bandur jeshta pitivyascha pumshete guruvasmitaha. Someone who instructs you in the Vedas is a guru. Your father is your guru. Your elder brother is your guru. The king is your guru. Your maternal uncle is your guru. Your father-in-law, the father of your wife, is your guru. Even if he's a non-devotee, he's your guru. That person who protects you is your guru. Your maternal grandparents, the parents of your mother, they're your guru. Your paternal grandparents, the parents of your father, they're your guru. Your relatives, meaning your aunts and uncles, the senior relatives, and all those persons who are elderly are all considered one's guru. These are Lokik guru. These are common gurus. But still, a person who has some culture, he respects all such persons. He gives respect to guru. And this is the essence of Vedic culture. This is described in many different places. Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Acharya mam vijaniya. Nava manyeta karichit namachya buriyusita sarva deva maya guru. That you should know that the acharya, that person whose achar, his behavior is very good, and you've accepted as a teacher to teach you how to behave. Acharya mam vijaniya. Nava manyeta karichit. You should know he's non-different from me. Namartya buddhisuyeta. Don't envy him thinking he's an ordinary person. Why? Sarva deva mayo guru. He's the sum total of all the demigods. The Bhagavatam also describes this also. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana. Sarvai gunas tachasamasate sura. That pure devotee, he has all the good qualities of all the devatas. Again and again this is described in Shastra. In 7th canto, chapter 15, text 26, Narad Muni tells Yudhisthira, Yashya sakshad bhagavati, jnana deepa prade guru, martya sadhi shutam tasya sarvam kunjara sochavat. You should understand, Yashya sakshad bhagavati, jnana deepa prade guru. You should understand your guru to be directly the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he's giving transcendental knowledge, jnana deepa prade. He says, consequently, Martya Sadhi Shutam Tasha, someone who thinks that their guru is an ordinary human being, everything becomes frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge, Sarvam Kunjara Sochavat, they're just like Kunjara Sochavat. Who knows what Kunjara Sochavat is? Prabhuji must know. You can say? Kunjara. Kunja means an elephant. That means the bathing of an elephant. Prabhupada used to give this example many times. The elephant goes and does so much work to take a bath. And then he comes out after the bath and takes dust and throws itself all over him. So you go to Guru and you work so hard. You collect money for Guru. You do so many works for Guru. You go and distribute books. You do so many things. But then if you start thinking, he's an ordinary person. All the work that you've done, all the hard work that you've done, becomes just like the bathing of an elephant. Konjara Sochavat. Therefore, we should never disrespect Guru. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written a very nice commentary in this verse. He says there, Kim cha satyam bhuyasyam api bhakto guru manushya buddhitve sarvam eva vyartam bhavitye ha yasyeti. Sakshat bhagavatiti bhagavaransa buddhir api guru nakaryeti bhavaha. Yadva upashe bhagavati eva sakshat vidyamane martya sari di martya iti durbuddhistasya shrutam bhagavan mantradikam shravana manan yadikam cha vyartam ityartaha. He's very strong purport. He says that even if someone engages in very intense practices of devotion to the Lord, it's all useless. All your big book distribution, it's useless. All of your getting up early in the morning and waking the deity and doing so much austerity to worship the deity as a pujari, it's all useless. All of your prasadam distribution, your kirtans, your japa, all of these things are useless if you think your guru is an ordinary person. He says the word Sakshat Bhagavati in this verse clearly indicate that one must think of the Guru as a Supreme Lord Himself and not even as a mere expansion of the Lord. Eti tamsa kalapum samkrishnas tu bhagavan swayam. So Guru is Sakshat Daritvin, but what manifestation of Hari is He? He's a manifestation of Krishna. Don't think He's a manifestation of Varaha or Matsya or Kurma or Nishringa. Although there's some other consideration we could discuss sometimes about that. But we should see that He's directly a manifestation of Krishna, not one of His unksas. This means that Krishna, who is the source of all expansions and who is the object of all devotional service, He's become incarnate in the form of a servant to Himself. Therefore, Guru Vashtaka describes Sakshadarit Vinastamasta Shastra. Kintu Praborya Priya Eva Tasya. That His identity of being like Krishna is because He's so dear to Krishna. He is a representative of Krishna. He's not the representative of Lord Nrisimhadev. He's not the representative of Karma, of Araha, or Matsya. There's some other explanation we could give. Fakir Mahan will give sometimes in this way. But we're not going in that direction. We're following what Vishnu's saying here. So, we see Him like that. He's Krishna's representative. And therefore He's not different from Krishna. When the minister of the king, the representative of the king comes, you think He's representative of that king. If He's representing Yudhisthira, you think He's representing Yudhisthira. He's not representing Sishupal or Dantavakra or someone else. He's representing Yudhisthira. And you should think that Yudhisthira has come. He's Yudhisthira's representative. And whatever I tell him, he's going to go back and tell Yudhisthira. This is the same thing, just like me speaking directly to Yudhisthira. This is Guru. And Vishwanath goes on. He says that even if the Lord, the supreme object of worship, is personally present as your Guru, even if Krishna Himself is your Guru, if someone has a demented intelligence to think of Him as an ordinary mortal. Now this is an important point. He's saying even if Krishna is present as your guru personally, this means, by this logic, it means that your guru may be not like Krishna. He may not be exactly in that position. So he's saying that even if Krishna directly, personally has come, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is said to be the direct spiritual master of Lokanath Goswami, when Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh and he was giving him directly instructions and telling him to chant Hare Krishna. So even if the Supreme Personality of God, it personally becomes your guru, but you think he's an ordinary person. So this can also mean, another meaning of this is, that even if your guru Even your guru may not be so qualified. But if you're thinking he's an ordinary person, then whatever thing you've heard from him, whatever thing you've gotten from him, the mantras that you've gotten at the time of initiation, Vishwanath says, Bhagavan Martyadikam Shravanam Ananadikam Chavyartam Ityartaha. The instructions he's given you on Shastra, the mantras he's given you, all these things that he's given you, Vyartam Ityartha. They're useless. Nothing comes of it. They have absolutely no effect. Because you've made this great, great offense of not respecting this person, not seeing them as a representative of Krishna. It's said that Guru must be bona fide. Fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhadev describes, chapter 5, text 18, Guru nasasyat, swano jano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivam natatshan napatishchasasyam, namocha yadyasam upeti mityam. Someone who can't deliver their dependence from the cycle of repeated birth and death, they should never become a guru, a father, a husband, a mother, or a demigod. Those people, sometimes they want to go and criticize, oh, he's not a bona fide guru. Well, excuse me, are you a married person? Well, yes. Well, are you a bona fide guru? Because your qualification as a husband should be just the same. Your qualification of a parent, as a mother, should be the same as guru, being a father, being a demigod. We can't see. Therefore, these two things are there, drashta and drishta. We shouldn't consider ourselves to be the seer, but we should always look to ourselves. So we should respect guru and never ever reject guru. It's described in Brahma Vivarta Purana, quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Upadeshara mamanyaya gattam parihanantaye Tan martan apikravyadha krittagyan nopabhunjate bodha kulishitasthena duratnyam prakati kritam guru yena prittatasthena chakta purahari. Very strong statement. Someone who rejects their guru, a bona fide guru, Brahma Vivarta Purana is telling Sanatana Goswami, is quoting this, that person is ungrateful. That's the first thing you should understand about them. And this also applies for our low-key gurus too. How you reject your mother, your father, they gave you birth. It means you're ungrateful. They cleaned your stool when you were a baby. You had so much stool. Many times a baby, sometimes they're taking the stool and they're smearing it all over their body. And the mother comes, so many times she doesn't complain, and she takes and bathes that baby. They've done that thing for you. And they may be a karmi. We may give them a bad name. My mother's a karmi. They're a meteor. But they're your mother. If we reject them, if we don't appreciate them, we're ungrateful. And he says that when such a person who rejects a bona fide guru dies, then even the carnivorous birds and beasts, even the crows and the vultures, they won't eat your body. This person is so bad, And conversely, it's described what happens when a guru rejects the disciple. It says here in Brahma Vivarta Purana that even before the guru rejects the disciple, already Krishna has rejected that person. At that time, whatever knowledge they've gotten from guru becomes polluted. And there are many examples of that. We're not trying to go in so many directions today. Again, Brahma Vivarta Purana describes, Pratipadya gurum yastu moha dipradipadyate sakalpa kotim narake pakshite purushadama. If someone one time comes to someone and says, you're my guru. I've accepted your divine grace as guru. Just one time someone comes and says like that. Then later on, out of delusion, patipadya gurum yastu, one time someone says, you're my guru, then mohad viparipadyate, out of delusion, later on you reject that person, you reject that guru. Sakalpa kotim narake, pachate purushodama. That most low class man, that purushodama, he goes to hell, sakalpa kotim narake, for tens and millions of lifetimes. He goes to hell. And someone who comes and says, you're my guru, and later rejects him. What did you?
Not following his own
This is a very, very big subject. Maybe I shouldn't have gone in this direction because I don't know if we have time to fully discuss. Her question is that what if your guru rejects their guru? Then what do you do? So now we're going to again go in the direction of about rejecting guru and accepting a new guru and these things. And this is a very, very big subject. We can say a few simple things about this. One is that be careful. Be very, very careful. Because drashta and drishta, these two principles, we're not the seer. We can't see who our guru is. We can't see what platform he's on. Moreover, Shastra has described in many places the qualifications of guru, and many devotees are fond of quoting verses like 11th canto, Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignasu shreya uttamam sabde parichanishna tam brahmanu pasamashram. He's on the platform of Brahman, he understands Krishna, he knows Shastra. But they're not so fond of quoting verses. This is guru lakshana, the quality of guru. And before you accept guru, you should look for this. I want to find a guru who's a true guru, Sadguru. Sadguru means a genuine guru. But after you take initiation, what is Sishya Abhiman? Sanatana Goswami cites Samoyan Tantra and Hari Bhakti Vilas. Avidyova, Savidyova, Guru Eva, Janardana. Whether my guru knows or he doesn't know. Avidyova, Savidyova, Guru Eva, Janardana. He's Janardan. He's everything for me. How can you say that? Someone may ask, how can you say that my guru is like Janardan? Okay, the Shastra is saying this, but this is a very sentimental thing. This is not a practical thing. No, it's practical. It's very real. Because even if your guru doesn't know, whether he knows or doesn't know, you can see him as Janardan because he's given you Krishna. He's given you the holy name. He's given you mantra. He may be big, he may be little, his realization may be very deep, his realization may be shallow. But the holy name is the holy name. The holy name is described in that verse in Padma Purana, Abhinatha Namanamino. It's not different from Krishna. And Nitya Sudha, it's always pure. Don't think, this is another subject we're going to get into, another forest. I'm sorry, sometimes devotees become confused. But don't think that Krishna is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead 5 days a week, and he takes 2 days off, and on those days he's not really God. Don't think that the holy name is sometimes Krishna, but other times it's not Krishna. The holy name is always Krishna. The holy name is always pure. Krishna is always pure. He's Nitya Sudha. He's eternally pure. But our perception of him, and Prabhupada says this, if someone wants, we have some pramanas for this thing. Prabhupada says this in one purport in the Bhagavatam, that the holy name is always pure. But what is impure when we talk about Namabhas, we talk about Namaparad, is our perception of the holy name. So that mantra is always pure. If that person has gotten it from their guru, it's the mantra. It's the same mantra. They've given you Krishna. Therefore we can say, Avidyavasa Vidyava Guru Eva Janardana. He's Janardan. Whether he knows or he doesn't know. Margosto vyapya margosto guru eva paramgati. The verse finishes. That whether he's properly situated or not properly situated, he's my everything. Why? Because you've accepted him as your guru. Don't criticize him. Acharya mam bijana yan. Namanyan meet karichit. You should see him as none different from Krishna. How can you do that? If he's not on that platform, how? Pradosh, how is it possible? You can see because he's given you Krishna. You may say, he's only giving Namabhas, but whatever, he's giving Nam. And that Nam is pure, ultimately. And if you take that sincerely, then Krishna will give you everything. So this is one consideration. And if you reject that guru, if you reject a guru mistakenly, you think, I saw him chewing bubble gum. He must be bogus. No bona fide guru would ever chew bubble gum. And therefore you decide to reject that person. You may go to hell for so long. You don't know. Maybe he accepted that bubble gum because someone gave him Mahaprasad bubble gum from Radha Raman. Something. Maybe that day they were offering bubble gum to Radha Raman. Some strange thing. You don't know. Don't criticize him. Don't think yourself a seer. If we've accepted him. Many times devotees, this is a very big subject. I don't want to get into this thing, but we can touch on a few very interesting points on this. Whenever our acharyas speak about rejecting guru, they always quote one verse, Guru Apyabhiliptasya. Speaking about, this is a verse from the Mahabharata, that Guru Apyabhiliptasya. Anyway, this is a verse spoken by Bhishmadeva Parshuram. Now, if you look at the context of that verse, many times this verse says that if the guru is telling a disciple it is some nonsense thing, you should reject him. Okay, this is one principle. But I have a few that we should reject the guru if the guru is advocating some nonsense thing. But I have a few questions I'd like to place before the devotees that we should think about, which I hope will indicate to us how careful we should be about this. First of all, if this is a shastric injunction, there may be some verse given there, but we also want to see some examples of persons who have rejected their guru. And we'd like to see some examples in literatures like the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, and others. Can someone please give me some examples? There are only two examples we can find, well, three, if you can cite Arjuna, that I know of. One is Arjuna. Krishna is telling him basically you have to reject Bhishma. And Krishna is ready to commit suicide, if you study the first chapter of the Gita, rather than reject his guru. He can't tolerate that. But in one sense, finally he has to reject his guru, you may say in one sense, because he fights against Drona, he fights against Bhishma. But what do? In the beginning of the Mahabharata, they go there, they take off all their armor and all their weapons, they take off their shoes and they start walking across the battlefield barefoot, and they go to Bhishmadeva and they go to Drona and they fall down at their feet with tears in their eyes and say, Guru Maharaj, please give me permission to kill you. Please give me permission to fight with you. And Bhishmadeva becomes pleased with them. He said, I give you my blessings. So that's their, quote, rejection. Bhishmadeva rejected Parshuram. Everybody cites that story, right? But if you look, I don't know if we want to go in this direction. There's so many things that can be said about it. If you study that thing, we've taken elaborate notes from Sanskrit from the verses in this section of Mahabharata. He did the same thing. Before he went and fought with Parshuram, he went and said, Guru Maharaj, please give me permission to fight with you. And then Parshuram became pleased and said, if you didn't ask me for my blessings first, I would have burned you to ashes. And then they started fighting. And why did they stop fighting? Because the demigods came and said, look, this is too much. If you guys keep fighting, the whole universe is going to be destroyed. And they said, in any way, Bhishmadeva, you're doing an aparad. You're doing an aparad because you're fighting against your guru. And then Bhishmadeva said, oh, you're right, I'm very sorry. And he went and begged apology from Parshuram. So this is our primary example of someone rejecting their guru. The third example that we have in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam is that of Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya. And we say that Bali Maharaj rejected Shukracharya because he was a bogus person. But, this is a very big subject. Let's see. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I don't know if I have it here. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described that Bali Maharaj, Lord Shiva, he's speaking about Bali Maharaj. He said that even though he did this great offense of rejecting his guru, still somehow he got the mercy of Krishna. And why is that? Because of Prahlad Maharaj, he says. So again, that's the only other example that we know of. So I would suggest that we be very, very careful in this regard. And if someone wants to say that, oh, your guru, he fell down, therefore you should take initiation from another guru and your mantra is not bona fide, I'm not going to quarrel about this. This is something for the managers to determine. I don't have adhikar for this thing. This is a social consideration also. But I would suggest that if we think like that, then we should also think about the logical consequences. If you say that, oh, your guru fell down, therefore the mantra that you got from him is not bona fide, it has a lot of consequences. It means that all the Brahmins that he initiated are not really Brahmins. Now what about the Brahmins that he initiated who've performed marriage ceremonies? It means that all those marriage ceremonies are not bona fide. And all those people should get reinitiated, they should also get married again. It means all the people have taken sannyas, it means all the deities that were installed by those Brahmins, they're not really bona fide deities. And everybody's archon and things has gone wrong. It means we have big problems in our society. Prabhuji?
And also we could quote Shishastra Kanda number 2, Nama Makare Navidani Chasala Shaktis, that the name is even beyond the meditation.
Huh.
So because there's no hard and fast rules to change the chant.
Yeah, in Madhyalila chapter 15, text 109, it says, Nadikshitasya, it says something, Nadiksha, even if you don't have a Nadikshitasya, Purushchena, something, even if the holy name doesn't require Diksha, it doesn't require Purushcharya, it's simply sufficient in and of itself. So my humble thought in this regard is that it's up to the individual. Because Guru is a manifestation from our heart, some people may feel that they need to have another Guru, they need to take initiation again. They may feel that, and it may be better for them. So they should do that. It's between them and Krishna. But just as we wouldn't think to tell someone, oh, you should divorce your wife, or you should marry this person, that's a great offense. We have no business telling someone who your Guru is or who your Guru is not. It's a question of the heart. We should speak philosophy in Siddhanta. So I'm not going to give a direct answer to your question, but I would just encourage devotees to think. Because Guru is a manifestation of our heart, it's an individual personal thing. We have to look in our heart and answer to that. Is that okay? It's a very strong subject matter. Huh? We should mean what? We should cite Shastra whenever we talk to people. And Shastra says, don't reject your guru, but then we can discuss with people. I'm not an authority. I'm not Krishna's representative. Krishna's not speaking through me. But I have some adhikar to have some discussion because I've heard some things from guru and I've read some things. So if someone has faith in me, and this is also a subject matter of respect and of social consideration, if someone has faith in me, then I may have adhikar to discuss with them. But I wouldn't feel it appropriate to go and dictate something to them and tell them, this is the absolute truth, it's like this or this, as some people do. But we can encourage them to think and to consider, because ultimately all these things should be considerations of the heart, not of the mind. Therefore, jnani prayasam udapashyanamanta eva. We should give up this speculation. Jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiyavartam. Just hear from Guru. Stani stita shuddhi gatam tanavan manobir. Just stay there. Don't have to run around like your head's cut off and like a chicken or something and this and that. Just stay there and tanuvan manobe with your body, mind, and words. Serve Krishna. And then by doing that, you'll conquer Krishna. Huh? Is that okay? So when we speak about Guru...
We're talking about the qualification
of Guru. Yeah, so we're citing this verse, avidyavasya vidyavagureva janardana margostho vyapi margostho gureva paramgati. That the guru, whether he's qualified or not qualified, is a sishya abhiman, that we should see that he's my everything. And we shouldn't reject him. And we cited a few things from Brahma Vivarta Purana and other places that describe what happens when we give up guru. How is guru rejected? Hari Bhakti Vilas quotes Narada Purana, Narada Pancharatra. Avaishnavopadishtena manchena nirayam brajet punascha vidana samya drahayad vaishnavad guru. When you give up someone's mantra, that's rejecting guru. And we should understand this thing. If we've accepted guru, oh, very nice. I like this guru because he plays really good electric guitar and he sings so nice and he's so handsome and he has so many beautiful lady disciples. He's a very good guru. And we take initiation from him. And then after some time, we find out he doesn't know so many verses. And he's not a very good guru. I'll leave him. And then sometimes they go to an Indian guru is better. And then you go there, and then after some time, you think, oh, the Babaji's are better because they can give me Siddha Pranali. If you accept, Pranali means a system. Bhajan is our system of worship. It's called Bhajan Pranali. That thing which our Gurudev has given us. Prabhupada has given us a bhajan pranali. Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles, rise at 4 o'clock in the morning, attend Mangal Artik, attend Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and in the evening we have our Sundarartik. This is Prabhupada's Bhajan Panali. The guru is a spiritual master, is the disciples of Prabhupada who are taking disciples himself. They give the same Bhajan Panali. They have to, because they're getting it from their guru. If they don't give the same Bhajan Pranali, then they're cutting themselves off from their guru. If you go and take another Bhajan Pranali, then in effect, you're rejecting your guru. You may say that, well, I'm getting this Siddha Pranali thing, and my Gurudev didn't give me this. Siddha Pranali, excuse me, for those of you who may not know, is a technical thing. It's called Ekadas Bhav. It means when you accept a Siddha Swarup, someone tells you that this is what you are in the spiritual world. Your name is Mani Manjari, or Bhuta Manjari, and Ghost Manjari. And you wear this color sari, and you do this kind of service, and your father is this person, and your husband is this, and they give some description like that. And that's a bona fide Bhajan Pranali, but it's in a different system. And don't let someone come and try to tell you that, oh, because you don't have Siddha Pranali, your line's not bona fide. You ask them, please show me where in the Goswami Granta is Siddha Pranali mentioned. It's not mentioned anywhere. Where does Raghunath Das Goswami talk about Siddha Pranali? What he says is, Nama Shrestha Mananapi Sachiputra Matra Swarupam. Everything is coming from the holy name. But there are some lines, like Narottam Das Thakur and his line, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, even he's accepted Siddha Pranali from Bipin Bihari Goswami. There's different persons who give Siddha Pranali. It's a different Bhajan Pranali. And if someone wants that thing, you'd make that decision before you take initiation. But once you've accepted someone as guru and you've accepted their Bhajan Pranali, you should be nishta. You should be fixed with your Gurudev. If you accept some other Bhajan Pranali, you're giving up your guru. So we should be very careful of that. Don't criticize the Babaji's because they're doing that thing. It's a bona fide Bhajan Pranali, but it's different than our line. We have our line. And don't think that there's something lacking in the holy name. I only got the Maha Mantra, gee. I only got the holy name. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. The holy name is everything. It doesn't say Siddha Pranali, Siddha Pranali, Siddha Pranali, Eva Kevalam. It says the holy name gives everything. Name Prasvatita Hoy Rupa Guna Karma. From the holy name will blossom your Swarup, your qualities, your service, what activities you're going to do. And it will also blossom Krishna's form, qualities and activities. Everything is in the holy name. Have faith in that. So if we've come to Guru and whatever Bhajan Pranali has given us, we should accept that. And we should be very, very careful not to reject that thing. So I'd like to say a few words about Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru. This is another question. How do we respect the Siksha Guru? How do we respect the Diksha Guru? If we're talking about respect, is it the same? Many times the Shastra describes that the Siksha Guru and the Diksha Guru, they're non-different. Still, if we analyze, there's some slight difference. The Diksha Guru is Bhagavad Rup. He's directly the form of Krishna. And therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was saying this thing in his purport, the seventh canto we just read, that we should see that our Diksha, our Guru, and Guru, when we say singular Guru, it means our Diksha Guru. Siksha Guru Gana. When you say Gurun, when you say Guru in plural, meaning many, that's Siksha Guru. But when our Shastra, when our Acharyas use singular form of Guru, that's referring to Diksha Guru. And that Guru, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, is a manifestation directly of Krishna. He's not considered to be an expansion. He's Bhagavad Rup. Siksha Guru is Bhagavat Swarup. He's an expansion. Guru Krishna Rupa Hana Shashaya Pramani. Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Korena Bhakta Gani. Guru, your Diksha Guru, he's considered to be directly a manifestation of Krishna. He's Rup, Bhagavat Rup, Krishna Rup. But Siksha Guru Keta Jani Krishna Swarup. He's Krishna Swarup. There's a subtle difference between the two. We can cite in this regard, I hope no one will mind if we cite someone a little outside of our tradition, not outside our tradition, but the Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru and godbrother, in his Upadeshava, in his most important instructions, he said this thing, that although the Siksha Guru and the Diksha Guru are considered non-different, still if we analyze, there's a subtle difference. He says, actually, the function of the Siksha Guru is to bring one closer to the Diksha Guru. And he says that if the Siksha Guru doesn't bring you closer to the Diksha Guru, he's not a Siksha Guru, he's not even a Vaishnava. That's the function of the Siksha Guru, is to bring one closer to the Diksha Guru. And there's many pramanas in this regard. It's a very big discussion. For Gopal Krishna, in his Padavali, his Ariya Padavali, he describes that Guru is Krishna. The Siksha Guru is Radharani. And Siksha Guru Rupa Radha, he says. Radharani, she brings people to Krishna. And so that's the function of the Siksha Guru, is to bring someone to the Diksha Guru. You only have one Diksha Guru. And that Guru, he's given you Krishna. So he's given you life. But you may have many Siksha Gurus, Siksha Guru Gana. And that Siksha Guru, you don't have a contract with him. If you hear from him for some time, but then you decide you have some doubt or something, don't make offense to him, don't criticize him. But there's no offense in leaving that person. But if you leave your Diksha Guru, what does it mean to leave what does it mean to leave a Siksha Guru? What does it mean to leave a Diksha Guru? Leaving a Siksha Guru means you're going to leave his instructions. There's no offense in that. But what does it mean to leave a Diksha Guru? It means to leave your mantra. And in that there's a great offense, because you're rejecting Krishna that he's given you. Now someone may ask, really, who is the most prominent guru? Again, there's two considerations. There's a general social consideration, and there's a heartfelt consideration. The general social consideration is, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, when you accept Diksha from someone, that's the person that you worship as a manifestation of Krishna, because he's given you Krishna mantra. And in the Gaudiya Math Niskan, we keep that person's picture on the altar when we do artik. We don't keep the picture of our Siksha Guru there. We worship the Diksha Guru. Even, anyway, we won't mention any person's names, but this is also a system going on in Gaudiya Math and Iskan both. This is our tradition. Generally, we offer worship to the Diksha Guru, because that person, he's a manifestation of Krishna. But the Siksha Guru, we worship him in another way, by following his instructions. The function of the Diksha Guru is Sambandha Data. He gives us our Sambandha. He is our Sambandha, in one sense. He is a personification of our connection with Krishna. He's giving us Krishna because he's giving us Krishna in the form of Nam and Mantra. He's our Sambandha Data. That's his function. The Siksha Guru is Abhideya Datta. His function is to tell us what to do with that mantra. Maybe our Gurudev left early and we don't really know how to chant properly. We don't understand properly about the 10 offenses or the subtleties of this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So he's Abhideya Datta. He helps us in that way. So that Siksha Guru, if you may leave him, you may leave his instruction, and there's no offense in that. But there's a great offense if we leave our Diksha Guru. So the question may come then, which is more important? The Siksha Guru or the Diksha Guru? Who is more prominent in my heart? There's two considerations. One consideration is a social consideration. I belong to my Diksha Guru. He's given me initiation. But when he was asked this thing to cite our spiritual master in this regard, he gave a very logical answer. He said, that person who's the most prominent in your heart, it's a natural thing. He's the most important person in your life. But still, your Diksha Guru is your Diksha Guru, and you have to offer proper respect to him. Even though your Siksha Guru may be more advanced, don't disrespect your Diksha Guru. He's like your mother and your father, and there's many pramanas for that thing also. We're getting lost in the forest now. Another question comes, a very interesting question. That what about our relationship with our Gurudev and other gurus, other personalities, other Vaishnavas? How should we see them? It's another nice point. We take the attitude of Hanuman. And what is Hanuman's attitude? Sri Nate Janaki Nate Abheda Paramatmani. He says that I know Sri Nate, the Lord of Sri, Lakshmi Devi, and Janaki Nate, the Lord of Janaki Devi, who's Lord Ramachandra, Abheda Paramatmani. They're both not different from the Paramatma. They're both the same. Tatapi Mama Sarvasham. He said, but I'm sorry. Tatapi Mama Sarvesham, Rama Kamala Lochana, Lord Ramachandra, he's occupied my heart. So in a similar way, we should see that all the God brothers of our Guru, they're not different from our Guru. But there's still some subtle difference. Just as Hanuman is saying here, there's no difference between Lord Narayan and Lord Ramachandra. There's no difference. There's no difference in one sense between your Gurudev and your Gurudev's God brother. But still, my Gurudev has occupied my heart. And I'm going to especially follow his instructions. We should do that thing. So that's being nishtha to our Gurudev. That's offering proper respect to our Gurudev. When we speak about a society of respect, respect to Guru is most important. If the Vaishnavas, if they see you don't have proper respect to your Guru, they don't want to see your face. If Krishna sees you disrespecting your Guru, then even before your Guru rejects you, Krishna's already rejected you. Krishna will never accept such a personality. I'm trying to condense a lot of things today, I'm sorry. It's also described very nicely by the poet Sanatan Das, not Sanatan Goswami, but another Bengali poet. And this poet, his song is given in many Gaudiya Mutt songbooks. It was cited by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta on occasion. He gives some song called Sri Guru Vandana. And he describes that we should see Jivera Nishtara Lagi Nanda Sutta Hari Bhuvane Prakashahana Guru Rupa Dari. For the deliverance of the jivas, Nanda's son Lord Krishna is manifested as Guru. Mahi Maya Guru Krishna Eka Kori Jana Guru Agya Hridi Sabha Satya Kori Mana. You should know that in Mahima and glory, Guru and Krishna are non-different. Not in terms of their Shakti, not in terms of their form, not in terms of their activities, but in glory, they're considered non-different. Guru Agya Hride Sabha Satya Kori Mani. You should accept, what is your relationship with Guru? You should accept his instruction as your life and soul. You should keep it in your heart, and you should worship it. Satya Gana Guru Vakya Yahara Vishvas Avashyatara Rahoy Braja Bhumi Bhas. Anyone who has firm faith in the divine wisdom of Guru's words, they're always residing in Braja Bhumi. They're in Vrindavan. This is the entrance doorway to Vrindavan, to have firm faith in the instructions of our Guru. Jara Prati Guru Dev Hanapara San Kona Vigne Seho Nahi Hoya Arasan. Whoever is always thinking of the pleasure of their Guru, they'll never become disheartened or discouraged. And he says, Krishna Rushta Hoyale Guru Raki Bari Pare. Guru Rushta Hoyale Krishna Raki Bari Nari. If you do some aparad and you make Krishna angry, you're in big trouble. But there's one recourse. You can take shelter of your Gurudev and he can protect you. But if you offend your Gurudev, then even Krishna can't protect you. So in this sense, we should see that even Guru, in one sense, worship of Guru is more important in this sense than worship of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nisringadev came to him and said, "Hey, Prahlad, you're so dear to me. Come to me. Come with me. Come to my abode." Prahlad said, "I'm sorry, but I can't. I have something more important to do." Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuyapa patam prasangat kritvatna satsurasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvisajeta vabritya sevam. He said, "I was following this path of all the sense enjoyers, and just falling into a deep dark well. But your devotee, Narad Muni, he came and he saved me." He says, "I'm sorry, I can't go with you because I have something more important to do than going with you. How can I give up the service of my Gurudev? It's my everything. This is Shastra Pramana. This is Pramana from the Bhagavatam. Service to Guru is even more important than our relationship with Krishna. But what is service to Guru? So we run around with our Gurudev's t-shirt on and saying, I'm our Guru, Jagat Guru, my Guru is very good, your Guru is bogus. Is that service to Guru? Service to Guru means to follow the instructions of Guru. And Guru says, worship Krishna. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami, he says, Gopayad Guru Matmanaha, you should hide your Guru. This is proper social etiquette. This is a proper etiquette of respect in our Gaudiya Vaishnava community. Hide your Guru. This is how you respect your guru. No Indian man will ever think that the process to respect his wife is to go and start telling everybody about their intimate dealings. No gentleman will ever do that. In the West, it's another thing. They're very disgusting creatures. But no Indian gentleman will ever do like that. He'll never talk about his wife. You may know, I've known as many people in India I've known for 10, 15 years, and I still don't know the name of their wife. And I may go so many times to a lunch, they never tell me. And I never speak to their wife. They protect her. Just like, what would you think if someone were to keep a diamond necklace and hang it on the fence outside their yard? They don't do, a crazy person would do like that. You keep a diamond necklace inside of a safe, inside of a locked room, inside of a locked house with a dog outside guarding it and you have a gun. So also we protect our wife in that way. So also we hide our guru because our guru is so very, very dear to us. We don't want to advertise this thing. If we start advertising, Ami Bodhisattva, I'm a great disciple, then whatever bhakti we have to guru goes away. Just like if you have steam in a pot, you have a fire under the pot and the water's there. And that steam is there. That steam is a very powerful thing. It can make an explosion. It can drive a locomotive train up a hill. Steam is a very powerful thing. But it's only powerful when it's kept hidden. If you take the lid off the pot, then it makes a very big show. The whole kitchen becomes full of steam. But there's no strength there. So also, if you go and you start wearing your guru bhakti, and start showing your guru bhakti in public to everyone, yes, I'm a great devotee of my Gurudev, my guru is like this, my guru is like that, then all the steam of your bhakti will go away. And it'll make a very good show. And you may get the result that a lot of shallow people will clap their hands and want to follow you, which may be what you really want. But if you really want bhakti to Krishna and guru, don't do that. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, Gopaya Guru Matmanaha. Hide your guru. Because in Vaishnava society, guru is a very personal thing. There's two types of guru. There's Samasti Guru and there's Vyasti Guru. Samasti Guru is Krishna. He's the sum total of all gurus. Vyasti Guru is the individual Kiran, the ray, the individual person who's a guru. And in this room, we all have different gurus. But in one sense, we all have the same guru, who's Krishna. Now, someone may protest. They may say, well, my guru, he's a manifestation of Krishna, but his guru is not very good at all. He doesn't know so many verses. His guru is not very good. Like Are Baba, you don't know. You're not the seer. Drashta and Drishta. Remember this thing. And secondly, he may be a manifestation of Krishna. Your guru may be a big manifestation of Krishna. And his guru may be a small manifestation of Krishna. But if they're giving Krishna mantra, if they're giving Krishna nam, that's also a manifestation of Krishna. So we should see that we all have the same guru. We're all God brothers and God sisters. We have Krishna as our guru. And we should hide our guru. Now, there's another consideration. We're speaking of the internal consideration. There's always two considerations. We have a second consideration. In our ISKCON society, we offer special respect to the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That's for our benefit because we want their blessing. The principle of offering respect in general is because we want the blessings of superior persons. If we go everywhere in this world and everyone that we meet, be they a 5-year-old child, a 7-year-old child like Parashara Muni, or a 7-kopa-year-old rishi like Markandeya Rishi, or a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, or a housewife, like the housewife from the story we told from the Sringa Purana. Whoever they be, if we go to that person and we humbly beg for their blessings, what a wonderful thing it will be if we can genuinely with our heart offer respect to everyone and ask for everyone's blessing. If we can get everyone's blessings, and maybe there may be some hope for me in this world that we can get Krishna bhakti. So we can do that thing by offering respect in the proper way. Jeho Nata Jeta Jeta. As we sang on the first day, the song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya. Deho Nata Jeta Jeta. I'll offer respect according to their position. And I can bow my head to everyone. I can say a few sweet words to everyone. I can give them a gift. I can give them some prasadam. I can give the kukuras some prasadam. and ask for their blessing. And the kukras will be very happy to give their blessings to you. The kukra means a dog, excuse me. They'll be very happy to give their blessings because you gave them a nice chapati. So you offered them some respect. So the system is there. So we don't have time to cover all these things. I'll just mention very briefly these three things so you don't die of curiosity. These three types of seva. And you can think for yourself more about these things. There's three different types of guru seva. There's a pekshika, there's sadharana, and sarvatantra swatantra. A pekshika means, literally, we put here, it means waiting. He's waiting for something. It's not good by itself. And the disciple, the apekshika type of guru seva, is that disciple who's thinking, oh, Gurudev, he's very, very nice. Gurudev, he made this temple and gave us a nice place to live. The purpose of this temple is to give me a place to live. My Gurudev is very nice. He collected so much money so that I can live. He can give me some stipend. He can give me some money that I can live with my wife. My Gurudev is a very, very nice wife. Or my Gurudev, he gave me a wife. He gave me a husband. We think that Gurudev is for our pleasure. In this service, it's waiting. It's waiting for something from Guru. So it's called a Apekshika Seva. So the Rana Seva is a common general consideration. Someone may say, oh, Gurudev, he liked all services. Why are you saying a book distribution is better, this thing? Gurudev, he liked everything. But that's a little impersonal. We're not impersonalists. It's not the same that we can invite you for prasadam. If everything is the same, then we'll invite you for prasadam. And we'll take and we'll grind up some raw eggplant and we'll mix that with the ice cream. Along with some neem leaves and some raw vegetables and things. And we'll give that to you. You won't like that thing. Because we're personalists. Not every seva is the same. So this is sadharana seva. But svatantra svatantra, sarvatantra svatantra seva is that best service. That's the service of Gurudev's real desire. Gurudev, it's that service that Guru was always engaged in, and that service he couldn't live without. Generally speaking, that service especially is Hari Katha. And Prabhupada said, this is our family business. Is to produce books, to produce literatures. That is the thing that Prabhupada was so desirous of. He had many services, but we can see that this particular service was very, very dear to him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta initiated many different services, but this particular service was very, very dear to him. Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, the six Goswamis, they did so many services, but this Granta Seva was very, very dear to them. So therefore Prabhupada said that directly or indirectly, all the activities in our Krishna conscious movement are connected to book distribution. Because we should see that we want to please Srila Prabhupada. If you have to do some legal work in the office, you should see how it's connected with book distribution. That all we have to get this the building, our temple, we have to get the legal permits properly. Otherwise, they'll take the building away and there won't be any place to distribute books from. We won't have a warehouse to keep the books. There'll be no place for people to come and buy the books. I'm cooking for the devotees. Why am I cooking? I'm cooking for the devotees so they get strength to go out and do book distribution. I'm doing deity worship. So I'm dressing the deity very wonderfully. So the devotees, when they come, they get inspired. They get some inspiration, they get some strength, and go out in book distribution. We're giving a Bhagavatam class. The purpose is to give devotees inspiration to go out and preach. We're making magazines or books. The purpose is to inspire devotees for book distribution. This is Svatantra Sarvatantra. Sarvatantra Svatantra. This is understanding the Guru's real desire, in connection with Srila Prabhupada. So, one last thing I want to try to touch on. His lower points here, which I didn't even give a translation for. Very, very important. A question may arise, okay, you're telling us all that we should be humble and that we should be respectful to everybody, but it seems rather artificial. And nobody likes artificial humility. Nobody likes artificial respect. In a Vaishnava Sangha, as we've described in this handout, if we see these verses of Sanatana Goswami, the embodiment of Vaishnava etiquette, this is the ornament of the Vaishnava, to offer respect to others. When we go in a Vaishnava assembly, when there's a festival or something, this proper system of Vaishnava etiquette brings everyone some happiness. If you have a big festival of the Vaishnavas, and some person who just joined last year, and maybe they have first initiation, runs and grabs a microphone and starts singing, and there's some sannyasis and some senior devotees there, The devotees won't feel happy. Why is he being so impertinent, so proud like that? We get some happiness when we see the senior Vaishnavas are properly respected. And we give them some chandan, we give them some garland, we give them a seat, we give them some sweet words. We ask them, oh, please speak. Huh? We give them prasadam first. And then all the Vaishnavas become very, very happy. Huh? If these things are done with the heart. On the other hand, if these things are done in a very ritualistic, external way, then they become very painful. Huh? If we go to some festival and they say, Jai Guru Dev, and oh, you're a senior devotee, so you have to sit on the stage, and you have to sit on the stage, and this, and they don't really care, there's no feeling from the heart, but they're just doing it for some external thing. Then even the devotees who are getting honored, they don't really feel so happy. Just like the disciple who comes, oh, Jai Guru Dev is here, let me bathe your feet. And they take some hot water and they start pouring it on the Guru's feet. And he's getting scalded. He's not thinking about his Guru's pleasure. He's just thinking, oh, I'm supposed to bathe his feet. Then I can drink some charanamrita and I'll make spiritual advancement. And what is he doing? He's making Lipton tea out of his Guru's feet. He's pouring hot water on his Guru's feet like there's some tea bag or something like that. And then he's going to make tea and drink that afterwards. That's not seva. That's not pleasing. It's not pleasing to offer some external respect to the Vaishnavas. It should be done with our heart. And even if you can't offer nice prasadam, nice gifts, nice things, if you can't offer anything, all you can give them, at least you can say a few sweet words. It's said that when a guest comes to your house, you should give them some food, you should give them a seat, maybe give them some gifts, give them some water, give them some sweet words. If you can't give them a gift, you can't give them those things, at least you feed them. If you can't feed them, give them a glass of water. If you can't give them a glass of water, at least you can give them a place to sit. And even if you don't have any place to offer them a seat, Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Bhagavatam, then you can come before them with tears in your eyes and you can cry. And you can offer some sweet words to them. I'm so bad. I have no seat even to offer you anything. And that Vaishnava, he'll be happy. He'll be satisfied with that. But the Vaishnavas, they're not satisfied with big shows. Because we're followers of Krishna. Krishna was invited by Duryodhan. Hey, you come to my house. I have a big lunch for you. Duryodhana ko bhogana kaya. Duryodhana, he made a big Himalayan mountain of foodstuffs for Krishna. And Krishna went there. But Duryodhana bhogana kaya. Ruko saga vidura gara kaya. Krishna went to the house of Vidura instead, unannounced. And ruko saga vidura gara kaya. He gave him some spinach. That's all they had from the backyard. Sometimes it's said they didn't even have that. They were just some bananas. And Vidura's wife was so ecstatic that Krishna had come. She was crying in happiness. And she was peeling the bananas to offer them to Krishna. And in her ecstasy, she was peeling the bananas and throwing the fruit away and offering Krishna the peel. And Krishna was eating it. Very, very nice. I say prema pujari radhe, sham, sham, sham. This nice Hindi song is there. So Krishna, he's worshipped with devotion. And we should also always remember that the devotees, they're worshipped with devotion and with affection, not by some mere show of devotion. So how does this thing come? The holy name gives everything. It's not required that you look to some external place. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on Trinadapi Sunichina, Taro Eva Sahisuna, Amani Namanadena, Kirtani Asa Dahari, he describes his four symptoms of Nirapirad Bhajan, described in this verse. The first is Vishaya Virakti Janita Dainyam, that you're humble. But what kind of humility is it? Is it just a show? It's not just a show. It's humility born of complete detachment from material sense gratification. That kind of humility. You don't want anything for yourself. Vishaya Virakti Janita Dainyam. This is that kind of dainyam. Vishaya Virakti Janita. You don't want any material sense gratification for yourself. You have that humility. Trinadapi Sunichina. You think you're lower than the straw on the street. Because if you have some material desires, it means you're a proud fellow. You're a puffed up fellow. When someone has material desires, they think the world is meant for their pleasure. This is a symptom of pride. But when we become really humble, that real humility comes the point when we give up desires for sense gratification. Vishaya virakti jani te dainyam. The second symptom of nirapparad bhajan is nimratsurata lankrita doya. Tarora pisa hisnuna. Excuse me, that you become amani, manadena rather. You have some compassion. And that compassion is nimratsurata lankrita doya. It's devoid of envy. Sometimes we say, oh Prabhu, I want to show some compassion to you. But if you feel some anger, some envy in your heart to that person, that's not real compassion. And no one will appreciate that. Nirmatsurata lankrita doya. The third symptom of nirapparad bhajan, of bhajan is performed without offenses, that comes after nam nam akari bahudani jasarva shaktis. After the stage of aparad bhajan, is mityabhimana sunyata. Purity of heart, which is free from materialistic false ego. Amani. You have no false ego because your heart is pure. Mityabhimana sunyata. There's no abhiman there. This comes from chanting Krishna Nam. Sarvesham yata yogi samanana chaitani lakshanani. You have an attitude of respect to everyone. Manada. You offer all respect to others in accordance with their position. Sarvesham yata yogi samanana. According to their position, you offer proper respect. This is a symptom of nirapparad bhajan. You don't have to artificially cultivate this. If you simply chant Hare Krishna, this thing will automatically come if you avoid the 10 offenses. This is the nature and the result of chanting Hare Krishna. So, we can finish on a couple of verses from Sanatana Goswami, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Remember your question, I'll answer it, Manaji. He describes there, yena sadharanad sakta dhamma buddhi sadatmani sarvokarshan vite pisyat buddhaista dainyan ishyate. Even if you're very exalted, still you should always be very humble in your dealings and think yourself very incompetent and lowly, even if you're a very exalted personality. He says, yaya vache aya dainyam matya chai staryam eti tat tam yat nena bajed vidvams tad virudhani varjayat. A person who's actually a wise person, who's vidvam, he tries to cultivate humility in three ways. Kayo mana vakya, with his body, with his words, and with his mind. With his body, how does we cultivate humility? By offering obeisances. When we see a sannyasi, when we see a senior devotee, we can go and we can bow down on the ground. We can use this body and develop some humility. When we see another Vaishnava who's initiated, Dikshesti Chit Pranati Bhishya Bhajantamisham, who's worshipping Krishna, we can offer our obeisances to them. So in this way, with our body, we can cultivate humility. With our words, we can cultivate humility by always offering respect to ourselves, to others, and never demanding respect for ourselves. This is how we cultivate humility, with our words. And we can cultivate humility with our mind by always understanding, by always dwelling on, by always meditating on our faults, by being sarvadosha darshi, seeing all the faults in ourselves. This is how we can cultivate humility in our mind and always seeing good in others. So he says that a wise person cultivates humility with his words, his deeds, and his thoughts. And he should shun whatever is opposed to humility. He says, Dainyam tu paramam premna paripakena janyate tasam gokulanarinam eva krishna vyogata. Humility comes from advancement in love for Krishna. Real humility comes when we develop love for Krishna. As seen in the example of the gopis of Braj, when they were feeling separation from Krishna. And he says, but these two things are seen to be in cause and effect. On one hand, when you get prema, One of the symptoms of prema is dainyabhav. You become very, very humble. And we see that even Radharani, she's praying in a very humble way. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying, prema dana vina vyata daridra jivana dasa kori vetan more deha prema dana. Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of prema. If bhakti has a limit, that last limit, that bhakti naipunya, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he's saying, prema dana vina vyartha dirda jivana. I am very, very poor. I don't have love of God. So this is a symptom of prema, is that one becomes humble. And Sanatana Goswami says, paripakena dainyasya prema jasram vitanyate parasparam tayoritam karya karanateksyate. That mature humility also brings love for Krishna. It is seen the two are in a relationship of cause and effect. So you may say, oh Prabhu, excuse me, I would offer my obeisances to you, I'd be respectful to you, but it's not really genuine. I don't really have it in my heart, so I'm not going to be humble. I'm not going to be false. So just like one devotee I know, he used to say, I'm making a joke, he used to say, please forgive me for my obeisances and accept my offenses. Some people, we may say, I'm just being real, Prabhu. I'm just being honest, you know. What can I say? No, we should cultivate this thing. Even if it's not genuine, that's okay. Still, you should cultivate humility with your body, with your words, and with your mind. And if you do this thing, this will help to bring love for God. And then after you get love of God, then again you'll get real humility. So this verse, Tanadapi Sunichena, Toro Eva Sahishtana, Amani Namanadi, Nakirtani Yasadahari, has two meanings then. One meaning is that if you cultivate humility, then Kirtani Yasadahari, you'll always be able to chant Hare Krishna. But the holy name of the Lord is not dependent on anything. It's not even dependent on your humility. Even if you're not humble, if you chant Hare Krishna, then good qualities will come. So one meaning is that if you cultivate humility, the chanting Hare Krishna will come, Kirtani Yasadahari. And the other meaning is that if Kirtani Yasadahari, if you're always chanting, then humility will come. So the two are seen in cause and effect. Both things are there. So we've gone over time. I'm doing some aparad to all of you who are wanting to take some prasadam. So anyway, I really want to thank all of you for coming here and giving me some opportunity to think about these subject matters. It's for my own purification, and I felt very blessed, especially Maharaj is here. And we can honestly say that if any good things have come from our mouth during these things, because Maharaj is here, and they're blessing us something. If senior Vaishnavas are there and they're giving some blessing, then something nice may come out. So thank you all of you. Vancha kova dhubhischa kipa sundu dheva cha pritanam bhavi vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samabheda bhakta bhindi ki jai, vopremanandi haripo. So I don't know if there's any, anyone wants to make any comments. This is that someone, they'll offer proper respect. Yogi samanananana, they'll offer proper respect according to Chaitanya Lakshanam, according to the qualities of different persons. Manana. Prabhuji?
In regard to Diksha and Shikha Guru, is it that the way I was told that we have to have the permission of Diksha to approach the Shikha? And also, if ever there's confusion between both of the instructions, we should double check with our Diksha to make sure
This book, Bhajanamrita by Narahari,
yes,
Sarkar, you're familiar with that, I'm sure. I can't say that I've studied that book because sadly we haven't seen a Bengali version of it. We've seen translations of some excerpts of it. I personally don't like to think we've studied a book just by taking excerpts out from something that's not proper. But anyway, in that book, it describes, like you're saying, I think that if we have a Diksha Guru, and we want to take siksha from someone else, we should take permission from that diksha guru. Jiva Goswami indirectly indicates this also in Bhakti Sundarbha. First he gives a description. He says you should only have one diksha guru. You can't have more than one diksha guru. And then he says, but what if you come to feel, not that you know, but you come to feel that your guru is not on the highest platform. What should you do then? He says, then you should take instructions from a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. So in that way, it seems that he's not saying you should reject your guru. He's saying that if you come to feel, because you're not the seer, there's two things, drashta and drishta. If you come to feel that your guru is not on that platform, then you should go to someone else and take advice from that person. You should take siksha from that person, but with the permission of your diksha guru. And everybody will be pleased by that attitude. There'll be no problem. People today, it's a very sad thing. We've become very sophisticated. Now I know 15 verses in the Bhagavad Gita and 10 verses in the Bhagavatam. I'm like the next acharya or something. And in Amani and Amanadena, we should be respectful to everyone except for our guru. And our guru, we kick him in the face because I'm very sophisticated. That's some people's idea today. What is the necessity for that? What is the necessity? Even if the guru, even if he's a bogus guru, we didn't get into this direction of speaking about Putana, the false guru, and what to do with the false guru. But even if you have a false guru, Krishna is there. Krishna will protect you. There's no harm in offering respect to everyone. You won't be cheated. Krishna will always protect you. If we have that attitude, there's no problem. Why should we criticize someone, especially someone who's helped us? Why should I criticize my mother? She gave me birth. Why should I criticize someone who gave me initiation? And according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, thereby took my karma. They've helped me. They may be high, they may be low, they may even become fallen. Avidyavasa, vidyava, guru eva janardana, margosya vyapi margosya, guru eva paramgati. But I should always want to please them. Now pleasing them may be done in different ways. Bali Maharaj didn't disrespect Sukracharya. He still offered respect to him. And thereby Krishna may be pleased by that. But we may respect them by not taking their instruction if they're in a fallen condition. Sukracharya was giving a bogus instruction. Don't worship Krishna. Don't give everything to Vamanadeva. So he wasn't disrespectful to him, but he neglected that instruction. So we might do like that. There's so many subjects. But he's a big forest.
I've seen in this regard that when a disciple loses faith in his guru, I've seen that with my own eyes, with my own human. What he does is he tells him or her, okay, I understand, but you please don't leave this town, and you take shelter of someone else within this town. And oftentimes, I've seen that a given candidate, he respects that, and he at least he sticks to his plan. So, as you know,
if they continue to chant the mantra they got from their guru, then in one sense they haven't rejected their guru, because they got something from their guru.
Yeah, they don't reject him, but they feel like taking more shelter of someone else.
Right. So that I would say that's not actual real rejection.
It's not rejection. It's more like
but if someone has rejected their mantra from their guru, they're finished.
Yeah.
And even if they go to someone who's a higher, so maybe theoretically maybe in a higher platform, they're finished. And what is good standing? Sometimes devotees, we can speak frankly. Sometimes devotees, they say, oh, Prabhupada just wanted a Ritvik system or this or that. My guru has addressed that. And he said that Prabhupada wanted them to be gurus. And whether you say they wanted to be Ritvik or wanted to be regular gurus, it's semantic. It's just a title. What's the difference between a Ritvik guru and a regular guru? They both give you the mantra and you should offer respect to both. So okay, you want to call them Ritvik, then call them Ritvik if someone wants to do like that. But the point is that Prabhupada wanted people to initiate. Prabhupada wanted them to do that. Nobody denies that. That's very, very clear. Prabhupada authorized them to do that. And Prabhupada authorized more people to do that thing. Now whether they're really qualified or not, at least they have the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And that would probably give them some instruction like that. And that instruction, Krishna will listen to that thing. That's not a cheap thing. So even if someone accepts a guru who's been authorized in that way by Srila Prabhupada, but then later on they come to see, oh, he's fallen in this way or that, he's not worthy for me to associate with, he's not qualified to give me instructions anymore, then there's no reason to insult him or criticize that person. You should still love that person and have all respect for them for philosophical reasons. But you can go with that person's blessings and affectionate blessings to take siksha from someone else. And if your heart inspires you, you may go and take diksha from someone. Yes, my Guru Maharaj also spoke like this too, about his personal feeling was, a philosophical feeling, that if you've come to ISKCON, then you've come to Srila Prabhupada. And even if your guru becomes, quote, fallen by either your declaration, your opinion, or in actuality, still you have some connection with Srila Prabhupada. And if you leave Prabhupada's society, you're doing some offense. You came to Prabhupada. You're not just making a vow to that particular guru. You're making a vow also to Prabhupada in a whole line. So we should depend on Prabhupada. Just like someone who works in a business for 29 years, 11 months, and 3 weeks and 6 days. Just one day short of 30 years. Right? If they stay for 30 years, they can retire with a pension. But then they quit one day early. They're a fool. They don't get their pension. So you're doing so much service for Srila Prabhupada. What do you think? Prabhupada is not real? Prabhupada is just an ordinary person? Collect your pension, man. Prabhupada's there. You have money in the bank. He'll help you. We should depend on him, not just that we jump up and down and say, Jai Srila Prabhupada, but we should actually cry and pray to Prabhupada and depend on Prabhupada. And he'll help us. He'll send us guru. He'll be appreciative. Oh, he's done so much service for me. I think it's a simple, logical thing, I think. What did he? This is a big subject, but we can make a little comment about it, a simple comment. Please show me where this is done in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Yes. Or in the history of Mahabharata, or the Padma Purana, or any literature like that. We don't see any examples of that at all. There's no examples. I think in and of itself, that should give an answer, I think. Okay?
How do we know when the guru rejects you?
How do we know when the guru rejects us? How do you know? I don't know. The one symptom is that person, he'll become bewildered and he may not know. We know one example of, I can't remember his name, it was printed in our Vaishnava Aparad magazine, of a person who was rejected by their guru. And he didn't, I don't think is an indication. He